All right, everybody, we're back here on Fox Sports On the Road. Michael Cohen here with you as we turn the page again. Rutgers football with a chance tonight at 6 o'clock against Maryland on our airwaves to get a win and become bowl eligible. Also, what a year so far, at least the start of the year anyway, for the basketball teams, both men and women, off to flying starts here in the 2024-25 campaign. So let's shift things over here to the Giants and the Jets, and things, of course, not going too swimmingly for either team. Both teams are done. We are about a week away, week and a half away from Thanksgiving. Both teams are finished. And in some ways, in some cases, I think you can make the case that both teams really had their seasons end a few weeks ago, practically by Halloween this year. It has been a disappointing year. The only good thing that these two teams have had is, up until recently, they've had an opportunity to hide behind the success of the Mets and the Yankees and their postseason runs through October. But now with all the focus on them, it's still very early in the hockey season, still very early in the basketball season. All the focus now turns to these two football teams that are floundering. Now for the Giants, they're 2-8. General manager Joe Shane came out. He refused to address the situation at quarterback, would not address whether Daniel Jones would be benched or not when the Giants return to play in a couple of weeks against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he says that the team has made progress in some areas, that he doesn't feel that they're far off. But when you watch this team, yes, they play close games. Yes, they have lost some tight games this year like they did against Washington twice this year, especially a couple weeks ago at the Meadowlands. This team just makes too many mistakes, whether it be fumbles like they had at the end of the game in overtime against the Carolina Panthers, whether it be the fact that Daniel Jones, even though he puts up good statistical numbers like completion percentage, it's well over 60%, he just doesn't make the big plays when the Giants need them. And yes, they have a talented receiver in Malik Nabers. They have some talented guys on the defensive side of the ball, although they certainly do miss having Kayvon Thibodeau there at linebacker. This team is just not good enough. And each and every week, they find ways to lose. And when you find ways to lose, you're a bad football team. And that's even made worse right now by the fact that Saquon Barkley down in Philadelphia has been incredible. 146 yards rushing the other day for the Eagles against the Washington Commanders in a game that was for first place in the NFC East and could go a long way. Now, I know those two teams do have to see each other again in a few weeks, but it could go a long way in determining how this division shakes out and whether the Eagles can make that kind of run and be that serious team that can push a Detroit Lions team in the NFC. And Saquon Barkley has had that kind of year where he is carrying the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, let me just pull up the numbers here again. 146 yards rushing the other day against the Washington Commanders. On the year for Saquon, he's had 1,137 yards rushing and 8 touchdowns, averaging about 113 yards per game. Longest run of the year is 65 yards. You don't think the Giants could use that right now? And the Giants, of course, had that contract squabble with Saquon during the offseason, really over the last couple of years. It was detailed on Hard Knocks this past offseason, and the Giants looked foolish by letting Saquon do what he wanted to do. They weren't going to hit him with another franchise tag, and they basically said, hey, look, as Shane said to him in that segment that appeared on Hard Knocks, we're going to let you test the market and see what happens. Well, he tested the market, and he got what he wanted, and he ended up with a better football team and a team that right now he is a big part of that's going to the playoffs, and the Giants are nowhere. Where would the Giants be if they had Saquon Barkley is the question. Would they be, let's say, maybe not 2-8, maybe, I don't know, 4-6, 5-5? Maybe they would be decent right now. Maybe they'd be right in the thick of things. Because 2 years ago, when that Giants team went to the playoffs and they snuck in, a big part of the reason why Daniel Jones had success that year in 2022 was because he had Saquon Barkley behind him. Without Barkley, it hasn't been as smooth. When Barkley was hurt, things didn't go well for Daniel Jones. And now here without him at all, he's had a rough year. A rough year as he's probably most likely on his way to the bench and certainly on his way out of town at the end of the year. The question is going to be for the Giants, will John Mara stick to his guns and keep Joe Shane and Brian Daboll another year? Or will he try to change course right away? Remember, this has been a Giant franchise that over the last several years has been very inconsistent as far as continuity. They've been consistently inconsistent in continuity. 2 years with Joe Judge, 2 years with Ben McAdoo, 2 years with Pat Shermer. And, of course, the only constant there was David Gettleman, and we all know how that worked out. So what will the Giants do this time? Do they run it back with Shane and Dable, or is this the beginning of the end for those two? Those are questions that we will not have answered until January. And, of course, the Giants right now 2-8 in the bye week, going against Tampa Bay in a couple of weeks. I know a lot of fans want the team to, quote-unquote, tank, as they like to say. But let's be honest, these guys are going to go out there. Can the Giants win a couple of games and end the season respectfully? That's what you got to find out from this football team. And who's going to be part of this team moving forward? Who's going to be the answer when the Giants are ready to turn this around? That's what they have to find out. And then on the other side of town, you have the Jets, who are a complete mess, a total mess. 3-7. They didn't even show up against Arizona last week. And they got the Indianapolis Colts into town. Colts aren't in any great shakes themselves. They're going back to Anthony Richardson, are the Colts, after Joe Flacco flatlined the last couple of weeks. So this is another game where the Jets have an opportunity. I know there's fans out there that still want to think the Jets have a chance at the playoffs, and mathematically they still do have a chance, but let's be honest, they're not going to make the playoffs. The fact is they get a Colts team in here that they should be able to beat, and really the next two games here for the Jets, the Colts this week and then the Seahawks in a couple of weeks from now, are two winnable games for New York. After that, I can't tell you what's going to happen. I can't tell you at all. But forget about this season. Forget about the playoffs. This season has been a major disappointment. And the fact that the Jets and owner Woody Johnson had to fire Robert Saleh after five games of this season, it sent this entire season spiraling in the wrong direction, and things have just not gone right at all. And you have to sit there and wonder, as you look at this team, you see that they don't have a lot. It feels like they don't put a lot of effort into plays. They're undisciplined. So many penalties all over the place. Bad penalties. Holding. Offsides. You name it. Anything that can go wrong for this Jet football team, they get called. They get flagged for. And, of course, last week was just a poor tackling. And it didn't help matters that you have Sauce Gardner, who was a part of the infamous non-tackle on Trace McBride, the tight end of the Cardinals. And when asked about Jeff Ulbrich going over tackling in team meetings this week, Sauce said, oh, we know how to tackle. We don't want to look at those videos. Really, dude? Come on. You are a big part of the reason why this team is struggling right now. Sauce Gardner. You want to be called Sauce Gardner? Step up and make a big play for your football team. And then there, of course, the future of Aaron Rodgers. What is his deal going to be? He says that he didn't give a 1,000% definite that he's coming back. He says he thinks so, that he'll be back in 2025. Hey, look, he's got a lot of money coming to him. If the Jets cut or release or try to trade him, that's a $49 million cap hit, and that's dead money, and the Jets don't want to deal with that. So these two, the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, may be tied at the hip for another year. The question is going to be, does Aaron Rodgers retire? I think he probably should. He certainly doesn't look anything close to being the guy he once was with the Green Bay Packers. And then the next question is going to be, what general manager candidate and what head coaching candidate is going to want to come to New York to deal with an owner who had a happy trigger finger on a very popular head coach in Robert Saleh, and even a GM who's well-respected in Joe Douglas? He has basically pushed him to the side now for the rest of the season. Who's going to want to come here to deal with that and also deal with Aaron Rodgers and his ego and Devontae Adams and his ego and all the egos in this building? That's going to be the question for the Jets moving forward. And sad, because a couple of years ago when the Jets had that solid draft in 2022, it felt like they were building towards something, building towards getting this team turned around the right direction. Now, I can't tell you what direction the Jets are going in. It feels like they're going south, and south very, very fast. So from the New York City standpoint, not a lot of fun for the Jets fans or the Giant fans, because things just are not looking good, not looking up right now for the foreseeable future for both of those franchises. Hey, at least when you're in this area, you have other means to find sports and entertainment, whether it be obviously from the college standpoint with Rutgers, of course, with the basketball teams, as I mentioned earlier, both playing very well. You have, of course, we're now getting into the basketball and hockey season, but also with the baseball hot stove that's starting to heat up. Where will Juan Soto go? Will he end up with either the Mets or the Yankees? Does he stay with the Yankees? The Blue Jays and Red Sox have also been meeting with Soto, and they're very much in the mix. So even though you want to sit there and say, it's going to be Mets or Yankees for Juan Soto, don't discount somebody else swooping in and giving them a ton more money to go play for that team. If somebody comes in, let's just say the Blue Jays come in and knock him out of the park with, you know, $750 million. You're telling me he's not going to take it? We'll just have to wait and see how that plays out. And I'm also interested to see how this is going to play out with Pete Alonso, because we've heard nothing about Pete Alonso with regards to the Mets. Rumors that the Yankees have been interested in Alonso. We'll see how that plays out as we really get rolling in the hot stove season. So, folks, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening. Remember, right here in Fox Sports On The Road, we'll be back next week with some more great interviews, and we'll talk to you next time.